You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Now plug yourself in the ass. It's the time for another Go Plug Yourself podcast.
Welcome to our very first Fringe Yourself. It's my jam. Our very first Fringe Yourself edition of Audio Buzz. I'm here with senior Fringe correspondent Sarah.
Hey!
We saw two shows. This episode we saw two shows. We saw
Story Horror
by John Bennett and
Insane Dance Double Feature No Fun and Breaking Boundaries.
So a dance show and a one-man show. What was Story Horror about, Sarah?
Story Horror is John Bennett, and he's telling a
Fringe
story.
Fringe darling.
John Bennett. And he's basically telling the story of his loves of his life.
Okay.
It's a one-man show, and he goes through very similar to what he did with his father's death, my dad's death. This one is more relatable, very fun, energetic. It's also a little dark, as all his shows are.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of interaction, which is a little bit different than his other shows with the audience. So the first 5 minutes are really energetic, and then it kind of dies down and telling us about the story of his loves. Really great show. Not like Fire in the Meth Lab, so if you're expecting that kind of darkness and comedy, it's not like that. It's more like my dad's death, I would say.
So it's not as intense as Fire in the Meth Lab. So, well, like you say, it's the story of his loves. Like, how so?
He goes through customs in Montreal, and a woman's like, "Don't yell love!" So, spoilers, that's the first 5 minutes.
Don't yell love? I think she says, "Don't tell anybody I love you,"
yes,
without thinking about it.
Don't tell anybody that you love them without thinking about it.
Yeah,
and he's
exactly.
like, "I love before." And then he goes through the story of his loves. And I don't want to ruin anything, so.
Yeah, okay. With a little bit of spoilers, where he means, like, all of his loves. Like, he starts with, like, six-year-old love, where he's like, "I wrote a letter and I wrote I love you on the end. I'm pretty sure I know what love is."
They were dating for 3 years.
Yeah.
When you're six, that's like your entire childhood.
Yeah, exactly.
This is like a comedy show, right?
Yeah. This is, if you're familiar with this is John, by the way.
Hey, guys.
John's popping in from
sure
the
am.
NES. This comedy show, so if you're familiar with any of John Bennett's stuff, like for your recommendation, if you like any of John Bennett's stuff,
go see it.
If you like a one-man storytelling story that's like engaging and funny and pokes a lot of fun at himself. Like the opening sequence is basically probably one of the most embarrassing stories I've ever heard in my life. Recreated in as much accuracy as he can as a grown-up. So he pretty much lays it all out there.
He puts himself on the line this time, where every other show it's his family.
Yeah, exactly. Most of his shows he throws other people under the bus, and this installment of the John Bennett storytelling series, it's all about himself being pathetic and sad.
Yeah.
There's something kind of noble about that.
A little bit.
Sacrifice for your
art. He also talks about something called Forrest Gumping. This is not really a spoiler, but it's just where he's like, "This is a thing I did. I would just run away." Like, not like run away, like metaphorically, like literally.
Physically
run away.
Physically run away from things. Forrest Gumping. Just bail and run.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So
if you like sex, comedy, cheating, and love, go see this show. Yeah.
And also, I guess we're going to plug our own stuff. Like, there's a bit of a preview in it. We did have John Bennett on the Fringe Yourself series talking about this show.
Yeah.
He previews some of the things that his Nana says, which are terrible. And, so go back and listen to that and go see the show, I suppose.
Yeah, and then listen to this again, because I was assuming that you already listened to it, because you're a diehard fan of 9to5.
Yes, if you're a diehard 9to5er, you've already listened to it. Just listen to our shows constantly on repeat.
Yeah.
We need the hits. then after that, we checked out a dance show. Now I'm gonna lay this dance show up. I went to the Fringe for All, and there was a really weird. There was like, because they have 2 minutes at Fringe for All to try to sell you the show, and then as they did in this, they split the 2 minutes into two. So it was 1 minute of the.
Well, it was really two separate shows.
Yeah, almost
three.
But the 2 minutes that they get on the Fringe for All, they split it between the two dance crews. So, like, No Fun had 1 minute, and Breaking Boundaries had the other minute. And No Fun looked weird as shit.
Yep.
It was, like, the guy with the guitar and his amp. Sadly, ate up a little bit more time, because plugging in his amp took, like, 20 seconds, and then they had 40 only 40 seconds for Breaking Boundaries.
Right.
And they looked super weird, super off-putting, but then these awesome breakdancers came out, and I was like, you know what? Okay, I was like, that breakdancing looked pretty cool, and I mean, I'm not usually a big dance show guy.
Keith watches all the dance shows, guys.
No.
He's lying.
So you think you can dance?
Yeah, no, but yeah, I have fringe shows and stuff like that. I rarely check out dance, and I mean, I guess like, I kind of always felt guilty that I haven't really...
It's like this art style. We don't often go to
yeah.
witness.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Nor do I...
We're the dancers.
Yeah.
Nor do I feel like that I'm like properly equipped to like enjoy it.
Yeah.
In a way where I'm just sort of like, I have no real, like, I have no basis of comparison.
Right.
So I was like, okay, we'll keep an open mind and we'll go see a dance show.
And?
And then, how did you like it, Sarah? What's the show about?
Demon Face. The first half is Demon Face. For everyone who doesn't know what that means, that's when you know that there's something scary that's going to happen, and then it, like, doesn't happen, and then you're still expecting the entire time. So the lights are off for the first, like, 30 seconds, and there's just someone screaming in an amp. So
yep.
That's what Demon Face is.
Like, screaming directly into a music amp. That's why his voice was...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was saying, come on.
Yes.
Oh. He was saying, come on, over and over again for 30
seconds.
Yes,
that's exactly what he was saying, and I kind of blocked that out of fear, terror.
If you wanted to, I think you could connect all three of these shows into being, like, a connection of words and dance. Connection of word and dance. That's what it was. All three of the shows connected those two elements together in different ways, right?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
In the first show, it was like a cacophony of words all together that you couldn't really understand. In the second show, do you want to go into details on this one because it was amazing?
Oh my god, yeah. It was so good. It was an amazing speech. Like that was so dry. It was a really good speech about language and words, and then there was this amazing tap dancer who just every syllable and every word he was tapping to, and it was just so moving, and he was so beautiful and like entertaining.
Yeah. Tap dancing to a dry academic speech about like I guess like sleep and consciousness,
something like
and
that.
And it was a lot of language. It had to do with like language being like a set of already code, and then that could be broken, and then he broke it by using dance.
Yeah,
like he replaced language with dance in a way. In a way that, like, this sounds super artistic and pretentious, but it was, like, also quite engaging.
Yeah.
Like,
it was super entertaining. Connecting this, like, dry text with his body's motion, syllable by syllable, step by step, it was
so
really, like, incredible. You're, like, riveted for the full, I don't know, he wasn't up there for more than 10 minutes, but
yeah.
I was riveted for 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
I could watch him for an hour.
Yeah.
Like,
every dry academic speech needs a dancer to dance to it. Like, an extremely good tap dancer dancing to it. I would have no problem paying attention to lectures in university or whatever. I'd be like, dance!
I think he sold the entire show for me. Like, he's the one who put it all together.
And then the third guy?
Then the third guy, we'll let Keith talk about that one.
Okay. The third guy was telling a story and, like, narrating a story while he was dancing, which at some points was, like, he was just sort of, like, doing, like, cool, like, little body motions and stuff like that. But at some points, he was doing, like, complex, like, breakdance power moves, like, flipping through the air, but still, like, maintaining a pretty steady voice. As he's telling the story and, like, doing flip kicks and fucking weird push-up somersaults and all that stuff. And he tells the... I don't want to spoil it too much, but he tells a story where he does something incredibly irrational.
So
You Think You Can Dance Canada.
He
doesn't say the show, so we're assuming...
He says a dance show that they get to go to Toronto afterwards and is on TV or whatever. I don't... Or maybe it could be Canada's Best Dance Crew, but he was solo.
I don't know.
Even said at the start, like, this is what he wanted to do, was do a dance show where he speaks the whole way over.
Yeah.
You know, and tells a story that his body, like, accentuates somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I guess he got to live that out, obviously, on the Fringe.
Yeah.
He was really good. I would say that my only feedback or critique on him would be that the story itself should have been a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he like, we're talking about, like, maybe
30 seconds.
Yeah, like 30 to 40 seconds of editing and making the story, because, like, every now and then he would kind of, like, trail off and repeat himself a bit,
Which is probably the effect. They just said he needed to do something more with it.
Yeah, exactly. Again, it might be on purpose to make it seem more natural, like, the story, but...
Could be. It's still incredibly entertaining. It's like a very light criticism.
Would you recommend this, Sarah?
I would recommend going, but keep an open mind on the first, I don't know, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Because that one was, almost that one 20, was tough. 20, 25, yeah. 20.
It was very challenging.
It was tough. Yeah. Like, yeah. I honestly really liked the guy who was doing the voice in the app. Like, he was awesome. And at the end, he sold, like, the last 5 minutes, like, maybe 5 minutes.
When he was worming around on the ground?
Yeah. And the first.
Jumping in
and
circles.
In the beginning, yeah. I was like, this is the awesome part. I get what he's doing. I kind of didn't really get what everyone else was doing. I found it was a little, like, stretched. But anyway, definitely go see this. The tap dancer for sure, but you're gonna have to go because they don't take latecomers, I think.
And I will say that, like, I think I reflected on No Fun, and it was like, and you can kind of tell that they were trying to sort of be like punk rock interpretive dancers,
kind of, yeah,
like that's sort of what they were going for. And like, John said the right word when he said challenging,
because you're like
there's definitely, like, there are moments of, like, it's not completely non-entertaining. Like, there's moments of entertainment throughout where you're sort of, like, little moments that are kind of funny, little moments where a little, like, tongue-in-cheek or whatever, like, when they're all yelling at each other and stuff. Like, there is some entertainment about, but it is fucking, like, wailing guitars and crashing drums with people sort of, like, jumping and kicking.
And possibly all screaming in separate monologues simultaneously.
Yeah.
Which was actually kind of cool. There's a little cacophony going on. I dug it. But it was a challenge.
Yeah. Overall, I'd recommend the show.
100%.
Like, if this sounds interesting to you, like, if you're like, oh, that sounds all right, go see it.
Yeah.
Like, if you're like, that sounds dumb, and, like, all of this sounds stupid.
It's definitely something completely different.
Yeah.
Which is, like, you get a lot of the same kind of things, mm-hmm. and I find this one was completely different from all the other shows that we've seen in the past and might be seeing in the future.
I would even recommend this harder. Even if this sounds dumb, go. And you will be blown away by at least one portion of the show.
Yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or you might be like, I'm sure a lot of people don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are like us and don't fucking go to dance shows on the regular. So.
Or maybe there are people out there, this whole host, who go to dance shows on the regular all the time and are like, oh, this is all old hat stuff and we're just complete neophytes.
Tap dancing to speeches. Oh, I remember that since 1998. Yeah. That's how dance
people talk.
Yep. All right, so coming up, we actually know what we're going to be talking about in our next episode. We're going to be talking about James Mullinger is Living the Dream.
Yep.
And
Wolves Greater Than Boys.
Wolves Greater Than Boys is going to be coming up on our next Audio Buzz episode. Enjoy The Fringe, everybody.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye.
Those sweet, sweet piano tunes you're listening to right now come courtesy of Leland Beckman and Oral Turpitude. Oh, man, that was some great podcasting, wasn't it? Anyhow, be sure, as always, to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, add us on iTunes, buy our stuff, and basically try as hard as you can to make us happy in every single way possible. Of course, be sure to check back every day on 9to5.cc for comics on Wednesdays, podcasts on Thursdays, Scott or Sophie's art on Fridays, and seriously, we'll try as hard as we can to get Zombies and Loathing, Fuck Mondays, and Templars back as soon as we can. Thanks for listening, everyone.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you?